You know, we've spoken about one of the big issues going on out at the legislature this session is expected to be a bill that's being brought by Representative Steve Hickey to repeal the death penalty. We've talked about it a couple of times here, but we're fortunate this morning to have Representative Hickey join us on the line. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today. Glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you. I'm glad that we were able to finally work things out so that we could get you on to talk about this a little bit. Tell us about what you're doing.
Well, we have a repeal bill. It's not retroactive, so it doesn't affect the three people who are presently on death row. That was a little bit of a compromise that we wouldn't reopen those cases and all those feelings, but from this point on, that we would revisit this as whether or not it's good policy in our state, and people are changing their mind.
Maybe help us, because I know this is a change in position for you. Maybe
right.
Give us a little bit of background here, Steve, about, you know, your thinking and what led you to come to this place.
Well, I, as you say, have had a change of mind on this. I've never been at peace with it. It always seemed like an inconsistency that I would be so strongly pro-life and then support a death penalty. I was able to articulate my position and even use the scripture. As you know, I'm a pastor. But a couple of things happened with me that put me back on this issue, and I revisited it very carefully and decided that all the traditional supports that I was using to back up a pro-death penalty position just are not true. And then I revisited the scripture, and, I don't know if you want to go into that part of it. But
no, that's fine. I mean, we talk about those things all the time here, but it's all valid.
Yeah, well, the very first murder in the Bible was Cain, and God specifically did not offer a capital, you know, punishment on him. He let him, he banished him from the place of life, and but said, if you touch him, you're going to have it seven times worse. And but then there was a retributive system put throughout the Old Testament that was clearly insufficient. God didn't use it multiple times himself. David was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. We get to Jesus in the New Testament, and, you know, there's 30, 40 passages that tell us that he would choose a higher road than that, which is mercy. There is the passage in Romans which talks about the state having the power of the sword, and they absolutely do. And, you know, that retributive system is still in place around the planet, and the state has that right. But, you know, when a nation has a Judeo-Christian foundation, when it's we the people making the decision, I think we need to choose the higher road. And that higher road is where mercy triumphs over justice or judgment. And so that's just kind of the Christian spiel, and I know that most of your listeners at least would self-identify as Christian. So, I can make a strong case that Jesus would not flip the switch. He would switch places with the person on death row.
It's 8:28. Representative Steve Hickey joins us on the line this morning, and we're talking about his proposal to repeal the death penalty in South Dakota. Why total repeal?
Well, because it's not working. The only thing it accomplishes is institutional vengeance. And, Greg, we're better than that. When you look at the executions by country, we're in league with Yemen and Egypt, North Korea, Iraq and Iran. It's the wrong group of nations. There's no predominantly Christian civilized nation that holds the death penalty anymore. And the reason is because it doesn't work. It's not a deterrent. 88% of the criminologists will concur that in America that this is in no way a deterrent. It certainly deters that person from harming someone else again, but it becomes immoral to kill a defenseless person. We don't do it with prisoners of war. Once that person is incarcerated, secured, and they are, these death row inmates are 23 hours, probably 23 and one quarter hours by themselves, and then they're let out of that room into a room about 4 feet longer for a little rec time and a 15-minute shower. Then they're back in 23 hours. There's no example in our state and in many states where they're dangerous. In fact, the prisons are full of dangerous people, but these aren't our most dangerous people. They're put away.
Representative Steve Hickey is with us, and Steve, thanks for agreeing to stay with us here for a bit. We're gonna put you on hold, Steve, and we'll return to our conversation. Want to talk about your proposal specifically, and the feedback you may be getting at this point from other lawmakers. It sounded like maybe you're already changing some minds. So we'll talk about that more with Representative Steve Hickey coming up If you're just joining us this morning, Representative Steve Hickey of Sioux Falls is on the line with us. He's got a proposal, as he was talking about, to repeal the death penalty. Steve, what's, as you've visited with lawmakers, I know you even had an open letter that you wrote here a few weeks ago to your colleagues in the legislature. What kind of response are you getting from them?
I'm getting openness. I expected a brick wall, and that is not what I'm getting. People are wanting to talk about this again. It's in the news. Even yesterday, Charles Russell Rhines' Supreme Court appeal was denied. And we need to think about what we're doing, and people are ready to talk about it. There's some who have a fixed opinion, and I would have considered my opinion very settled in the past. But I'm seeing people looking at the data. We want to keep it focused on, you know, the victim and, you know, what the families have gone through. But, you know, it just point by point, I've been able to talk about those things, that this, it doesn't take killing somebody to bring closure. Most murders don't get the death penalty. Those families immediately grieve and go into closure processes. Death penalty, in fact, delays closure, sometimes 20, 25 years. And so, you know, point by point, we're going through this, and people are saying, I'm open.
I appreciate what you're talking about at closure. I think we even see sometimes after the death penalty is carried out where there's an immediate kind of, you know, I almost hate to use the word satisfaction, but right. Of families that say, okay, justice has been carried out, but the loss of that person is a permanent situation that they're always going to be dealing with.
Yeah, it doesn't replace anybody. It doesn't bring anybody back. The void is still there. There is, you know, the initial, you know, good, this is done. He got what he, you know, deserves. But if we want our pound of flesh, putting him to sleep like we put a beloved pet to sleep is the wrong way to do it. We put him in a box and, you know, throw away the key for life. That puts excruciating. It takes away a person's life without their breath. And I think we need to revisit that. You know, with the family, they're going to continue to grieve, and I think they need to enter into that process a lot sooner. And so society and legislators need to make this decision outside of the emotion of what has gone on. No one disagrees these people have done horrific things, the most horrific things that can be imaginable. But this isn't about what they did. This is about what we're going to do. And I think we ought to send a loud message back to society that killing is never okay. Because right now we're telling kids you can be mad enough at somebody to kill them. And I don't think we need a government that's powerful enough to line you up and shoot you. I think it's just we need to revisit violence in all of society, and this is a good place to do it. I also have concerns that we're not fairly administering it in our state. Charles Russell Rhines' crime was horrible, but it is in no way different than dozens of other murders that have happened in our state. We have 17 death penalty. There were 17 people pursued for the death penalty since 1979. About 80 people could have been. We only pursued the white people. There was no, it's just interesting that all the Native American murders, none of that, we haven't pursued the death penalty in those cases. So I have concerns with cost, race, the disparage is there. So it's a comprehensive issue, and I don't plan to fight it from the religious vantage point here. We don't need to.
Let me bring up, when you talked about the religious viewpoint earlier, myself, I'm Catholic, and the Catholic Church has generally opposed the death penalty, except in some extreme cases. And that's part of what I worry about, because unfortunately, and I think we saw this with the murder of, corrections officer Ron Johnson up at the penitentiary, where you've got some inmates that are just horribly violent. They're a danger to those who work near them on a daily basis. They're a danger to society if they ever should escape and get out, God forbid. In those very few cases, I would hate to think that the death penalty would be totally off the table.
I think that the most dangerous place in the prison is not death row. That's the most secure place. Those people aren't doing anything. The two guys that killed the prison guard were not on death row. There are a lot of violent people in prison. It's a dangerous place to be. But in that specific instance, from inside conversations with prisoners and others who are involved in that. It's my belief that three people died and are planning to die, are going to die, and none would have had to, because those two guys were telling their inmates, we're getting out of here one way or another. They could have tied Ron Johnson up in the corner and got out of there if their plan was just to escape. But their plan was a backup plan. We're going to get the death penalty. If we don't get out of here, we're going to get the death penalty. And that's why it cost the state very little to pursue the execution. They wanted that outcome. Now one of them has changed his mind because he has a son. But it is not the case that this makes prisons more safe. North Dakota's prisons aren't worse than ours. They don't have a death penalty. Minnesota, Iowa, those prisons aren't more dangerous than ours because they have a death penalty. So the prison safety issue, it doesn't hold up. The fact of the matter is that there's a murderer, Kelly Van Engelhoven, brutally raped and murdered a 9-year-old paper girl on a Sunday morning. That's the same crime Donald Mueller committed. But he didn't get the death penalty, and Mueller did. And so those people are in our prison, and if we're going to use the prison safety issue as a reason to kill people, we better kill a lot more people.
Now let's talk about the schedule for this bill. What will happen here? When does this begin to get hearings, and what should we look for, Steve?
Well, I'm still working the bill here, which it's very early in the session. It's only like day 6. Which is the time we go around and talk to our colleagues and get signatures for co-sponsors and try to, you know, we're setting up, you know, the people who are going to come. We have one person who's coming whose son was killed, and then the death penalty didn't bring resolve. In fact, forgiveness bring resolve. Those are the stories we need to trumpet. And so I'm lining up those people, different people who are involved in litigating death penalty cases for the committee hearings. I'll probably drop it in the next week or two. I would expect it to go into the House State Affairs Committee, where all the contentious bills go. I have a great shot of getting it out of there. I have a great shot of getting it off the House floor. It's a little more tricky in the Senate, but it's doable this time around.
Well, Representative Steve Hickey, thanks so much for your time this morning, Steve. And we hope to touch base with you again, not only on this issue, but other issues that you'll be tackling out in the legislative session this year.
That'd be great. Thank you, Greg.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Really appreciate your time.